The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in, because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This beautiful verse is found in the Old Testament book of Lamentations, but I hear it echoing all around our gospel story today. God's mercies are new each morning. On this particular morning, we find ourselves once again on the seashore, still in the early days of the post-resurrection world, and Jesus' disciples still seem to be reeling with shock as they try to figure out what to do with their experience of the risen Christ and where to go next. They have seen Jesus, they have put their hands on his scars, and they have been sent out into the world by him to carry out his mission. But they are still struggling. They still don't know what to do And so they return to what is most familiar to them. They go fishing. Only it's not going well. They fish all night and catch nothing. Remember that most of the disciples were professional fishermen, so this should have been something that they were able to do. I can imagine how frustrated and discouraged they must have felt. Their whole world had been turned upside down in the last week. Their whole sense of identity had been shaken to the core. If they could just bring in a good haul of fish, maybe they would get their lives back on track. Maybe they would start to feel like themselves again. But it doesn't happen. Instead, defeated, they sink a notch lower into their sense of confusion and incompetence, trailing empty nets. Until day breaks, the blue light of dawn creeps over the horizon. That's when Jesus, standing on the seashore, calls out to them, "Children, cast your net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." The disciples obey, and miraculously they haul in a net bursting with fish. This miracle opens their eyes to the presence of Jesus in their midst, and they hasten towards him on shore. They splash onto the sand, tired and wet, and I would imagine a little afraid and ashamed to meet Jesus. But they find waiting for them not a scolding Jesus, not a disappointed Jesus, but a gentle Jesus. Jesus has built a fire to warm them and provided fish and bread to feed them. He doesn't say, "What are you still doing here?" He doesn't say, "I can't believe I have to go through this whole discipleship thing with you all again." He doesn't say, "How are you still not getting this?" What he does say is, "Come and have breakfast." In the disciples' most vulnerable moment, when they feel defeated and confused and lost, Jesus beckons them to draw near and eat. He cares for them and provides for them. He shows them tenderness and mercy. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. After the disciples have finished breakfast, when they are warm and well-fed, Jesus turns to Peter, his second in command, the leader of his disciples, and the one who had betrayed him three times in the hour of Jesus' greatest need, in his arrest and crucifixion. Jesus could have taken Peter to task over his betrayal. He could have said, "You fool, you boasted that you would follow me to the ends of the earth, but the second the danger became real, you denied me not once, not twice, but three times." He could have allowed Peter to wallow in his shame and disgrace. Instead, gentle Jesus shows Peter mercy. He invites him out of his shame and gives him a way to reconcile, to begin again. Just as Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus now asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And every time that Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, I love you," that wound is healed, and Peter begins his new life as a disciple. Jesus ends this conversation by saying simply, "Follow me." The same words he said to him on a seashore 3 years earlier, when he first called Peter to drop his net and become his disciple. After all those years of following Jesus, listening to his teaching, struggling with huge questions of faith, and then finally watching him be killed and raised again. Peter is right back at the beginning, back to square one. He once again hears Jesus' call, "Follow me." Even this veteran disciple, the rock of the church, who has been with Jesus from the very beginning, must begin again. Too often we think of the Christian spiritual life like we're playing a video game in which we're aiming to make steady progress forward, always reaching for the next level, earning more points and power as we move through the ranks. We are an achievement-oriented culture, and we tend to bring that mindset into our spiritual lives. It is true that we can and hopefully do mature spiritually and learn new lessons and grow in our faith. But I think what our gospel lesson shows us today is that spiritual maturity is less about reaching the next level of holiness and more about being constantly willing to begin again. The life of Christian discipleship requires a tremendous amount of humility. We have to be willing to acknowledge over and over again that we have failed and that we need God. But it is precisely in these moments of humility and surrender that God is most able to work with us, just like he did with Peter and the disciples. So thank God that God's mercies are new every morning, because that's about how often we need them. When you lose your way, when you get tired and weary, when you fail, remember that God's mercies are new for you each day. Remember that what matters is not getting it right every time, but being humble enough to go back to square one. Every day, Jesus beckons us towards himself and gives us a chance to begin again, saying to each of us every morning, "Follow me." Amen.